الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayh, in his Muslim Sharif, the Hadith Kitab, the famous Hadith Kitab after Bukhari Sharif, has mentioned a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أفضل الصيام بعد شهر رمضان شهر الله المحرم. أفضل الصيام بعد شهر رمضان شهر الله المحرم وأفضل الصلاة بعد الفريضة صلاة الليل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. After the month of Ramadan, the most virtuous of rozas, of fasting, or the days when a person can keep roza, after the month of Ramadan, the most blessed days in which a person can keep roza is the month of Allah Muharram. And the best of namaz, after the faraid, the five daily salah we read, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, the best namaz a person can perform after the fard namaz is tahajjud namaz. We find the salient feature in the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an. They used to keep a lot of rozas, and during the night they would engage themselves in tahajjud salah. The Quran mentions, تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع. Their bodies would be kept away from their beds, engaged in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an, كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون. In another ayat Allah ta'ala says that they would sleep very little during the night, because they would engage themselves in qiyamul layl, tahajjud namaz, crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, on some other occasion we will speak in detail about tahajjud namaz, its fazail. But today we'll concentrate on the first portion of this hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizes keeping roza in the month of Muharram. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that Muharram is Shahrullah, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has made a nisbat, a connection, a ta'alluq, an idafat, as we say, with Muharram to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we say Kitabullah, the book of Allah, Nabiullah, the Nabi of Allah, Rasulullah, the Rasul of Allah, Baytullah, the house of Allah, like that, Shahrullah, the month of Allah, Muharram. Every month belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But particularly Muharram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it some status. Allah ta'ala has elevated its position. It is very high in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sahabi, as mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also in Ibn Majah, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, after the month of Ramadan, I wish to keep roza. During which days should I keep roza, nafil roza? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, In kunta sa'iman, if you have to keep roza, فَصُمْ al-Muharram, then keep roza in the month of Muharram, فَإِنَّهُ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ, because it is the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Qatada radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in another hadith of Muslim Sharif, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Suyamu Ashura ahtasibu ala Allah an yukaffira sanata allati qablaha. Regarding the virtue, the blessing, the reward of keeping Roza on Ashura, that is the 10th of Muharram, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I've got high hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I anticipate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this roza a person will keep in Muharram, the 10th of Muharram, it will obliterate the sins of the previous year. My brothers, from this we can understand, look at the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for every possible means of forgiving us. Just recently, we kept roza in the month of Dhul Hijjah, on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Now again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another opportunity of keeping roza. And by means of keeping this roza, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out all our minor sins of the previous year. So merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. It is left for us to now put that into practice and benefit from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that after the month of Ramadan, the most blessed time to keep roza is in the month of Muharram, and especially on the 10th of Muharram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as reported by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala, when he came into Medina Munawwara, he found that the Yahud were fasting. He inquired of them as to why they were fasting on the 10th of Muharram. So they explained, هَذَا الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي أَظْهَرَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ Musa wa Bani Israel ala Fir'aun. It is that day wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salatu salam and Bani Israel victory over Fir'aun. In another riwayat, in Bukhari Sharif, Najjallahu Bani Israel min aduvihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the Bani Israel from the enemy. We know the incident of Musa alayhi salatu salam because of time, it is not possible now to give the entire detail. But it was on the 10th of Muharram where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Bani Israel from the clutches of Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned Fir'aun and his army. وَأَنْجَيْنَا مُوسَى وَمَنْ مَعَهُ أَجْمَعِينَ ثُمَّ أَغْرَقْنَا الْآخَرِينَ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Ayat number 65, Surah Ash-Shu'ara, in the 19th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we saved Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his followers, all of them, and we drowned Fir'aun and his army. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is an ibrat for us. It is a sign showing to us Allah's power. Very briefly, in the 30th para in Surah An-Nazi'at, the second surah, the 30th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very briefly the incident of Musa and Fir'aun. Throughout the Quran we find, in almost every para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes some mention of Musa alayhi salatu salam and his incidents with Fir'aun. In some paras, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this incident in much more detail. But in the 30th para in Surah An-Nazi'at, Allah mentions it very briefly. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know the incident of Musa alayhi salatu salam? إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa, Musa kalimullah, when Allah ta'ala spoke to him in the Mount Tuwa, and what is the message to Musa alayhi salatu salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs him to go to Fir'aun. Why? إِنَّهُ تَغَى. Because he has transgressed all limits and all bounds. Fir'aun was a tyrant. Fir'aun used to oppress his people. يُذَبِّحُ أَبَنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. The Quran says that Fir'aun was amongst the corrupt people who live in this world. Fir'aun used to slaughter the young boys alive because he was scared that a child will grow up one day and he will overthrow Fir'aun and take over his entire regime. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A tyrant like Fir'aun, who once remarked, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرِي, telling his people, I do not know of any other deity for you besides myself. Even this person, who was a tyrant ruler, oppressing his people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to give even Fir'aun the message of Iman. فَقُلْ هَلَّكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ask Fir'aun, do you want to be purified of your sins? Do you want to be reformed? فَقُلْ هَلَّكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَى. I will guide you to your Rabb. I will guide you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen and obey my instructions. Soon you will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you will realize that there is somebody who is more supreme over you. But what we find? فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى. Fir'aun denied, he rejected Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was disobedient to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. He turned away hastily, showing signs of apathy, indifference to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Fir'aun gathered his people. فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. He called his people, his courtiers, and he said, he proclaimed to them, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your true Allah. I am your true Rabb who is the most high and exalted. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah mentioned, فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. When Fir'aun was rejecting the message of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam threw down his stick, immediately it became a serpent. Even this, Fir'aun did not take any heed from this. He said, well, you are just practicing magic and sorcery. So he called his magicians, who came from far and wide, and they challenged Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tells his magicians to throw down their sticks first. And it is mentioned in the tafsir kitab that these magicians, to mock Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they came in the garb of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. They imitated Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So they threw down the sticks, which became little snakes. Then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam threw down his asa. It became a very huge serpent, which began to gobble and eat up and swallow up all his little snakes. When Fir'aun saw this, he was taken aback. When these magicians who came to mock Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who came to challenge Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when they saw this happening, immediately they fell down in sajda and they brought iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Fir'aun was fearing, exactly what he was worried about, or what he was planning against Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans against him. And these people, instead of overthrowing Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they became the followers of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But even this, when a person becomes a tyrant ruler, when pride grips him, my respected brothers and elders, we have spoken previously on pride in here in almost every majlis about pride and how harmful pride is. Al-kibru batarul haqq wa ghamtun nas. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that pride, what is the definition of pride? Batarul haqq, rejecting the truth. Fir'aun could not see the truth. He could not face reality. Wa ghamtun nas, and to treat the people inferior. To feel yourself to be very superior and above every other person. This is pride. When this happens, this spurred Fir'aun to say, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, that I am your Allah. I am the most high. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then seized him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned him and made him an example in the hereafter and also in this world. According to some mufassirin, al-akhirah means the hereafter, and al-ula refers to this world. Other mufassirin say the two statements of Fir'aun, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرِ, his first statement, that I do not know of any other deity for you besides myself, and his second statement which he made now last, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, because of these two statements claiming to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala destroys him. So it was on the 10th of Ashura where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu salam and the Bani Israel from the clutches of Fir'aun and his army. Therefore Musa alayhi salatu salam used to keep roza, shukran lillah, showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having saved him on that particular day. On the 10th of Ashura, Musa alayhi salatu salam would keep roza. And that is how the Yahud began to keep roza, ta'ziman lahu, out of showing importance to Musa alayhi salatu salam and this shukr, they also kept roza on the 10th. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a very beautiful statement. He says, "Nahnu haqqu bi Musa minkum." We are more deserving of Musa alayhi salatu salam than you, O Yahud. We have got more love for Musa alayhi salatu salam. We believe in Musa alayhi salatu salam and his original Torah. You've interpolated his and changed his Torah. We are more close and we have more love for Musa alayhi salatu salam. Therefore, we should also be keeping this roza. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his concern that we must not be imitating the Yahud in our ibadat as well. Imagine if in the ibadat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so particular for us not to imitate the Yahud, then imagine in the other aspects of life, in our eating, our dressing, our eating, our talking, our aspirations, our aims, our goals, our objectives of life, we should be very far away from the Yahud. Our ideas should be different from the Yahud. Our dressing should be different from them. In fact, when it comes to the beard and the mustache, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned very clearly, curtail your mustache and lengthen your beards. Why? Because you should oppose the Yahud. They grow long mustaches and they have short beards or no beards. So in this particular instance also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَإِن بَقِيتُ إِلَىٰ قَابِلٍ لَأَصُومَنَّ التَّاسِعُ. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi narrates this hadith. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if I have to remain alive the following year, I would most certainly keep roza on the ninth as well. لَأَصُومَنَّ التَّاسِعُ. Meaning he would keep on the 10th, but he would join a fast also to the 10th. He would keep roza on the 9th. So two rozas he would keep to be different and to oppose the Yahud, because the Yahud would keep on the 10th. In a narration of Tirmidhi Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Sumu at-tasi', keep roza on the 9th as well, wa khaliful Yahud, and oppose the Yahud." And in Tahawi Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a riwayat where he says that "Sumu qablahu yawman aw ba'dahu yawman wa la tatashabbahu bil yahud." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that either you keep roza one day before the 10th, meaning the 9th and the 10th, or a day after the 10th, that means 10th and the 11th, and do not imitate the Yahud. So we will keep roza inshallah on Tuesday and on Wednesday, that is 9th and 10th, or on Wednesday and Thursday, the 10th and 11th. However, we should understand that this roza is not farz. This roza is sunnah. I have mentioned the reward and the blessings of this great act of keeping roza on the 10th of Ashura. However, if any person, for any reason, if he does not keep roza, we should not mock and jeer at him. We should not pick out at him. This fast is sunnah. It is a very beloved act and highly emphasized. It is so emphasized that we find in the kitabs, a person like Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, he sends a certain sahabi of his, if I'm not mistaken, it is Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala, who ascends the minbar in Kufa, and he emphasized to the people of Kufa to keep roza in the month of Ashura. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala also, he climbed on the minbar of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. And he asked, "Aina ulama'ukum? Where are your ulama?" Because he had found that people had neglected keeping fast on the 10th of Ashura. So although it is a sunnah, but it is highly emphasized. Prior to Ramadan, the fasting of Ashura was farz. But the moment Ramadan came down, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Ramadan fasting compulsory, then the Ashura fast became sunnah. We find in the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they would treat this fasting of Ashura so important that they would even encourage the young children to keep roza on this day. Hazrat Rubay', the daughter of Hazrat Mu'awiz ibn Afra radiallahu ta'ala, says that we used to keep roza on the 10th of Ashura, wa nusawwimu sibyanana as-sighar, and we should also make our young children keep roza on this day. To such an extent that we should keep them preoccupied with toys made out of wool when they were hungry and they would cry. So to divert their attention, we would give them something to play out of wool, and we should give them food to eat at the time of iftar. My respected brothers and elders, there are so many other aspects regarding the fasting and the blessedness of the month of Muharram. As I mentioned in the beginning, it is Shahrullah. That izafa, that connection, that ta'alluq that Allah, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned with this month, belonging specifically to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, itself shows us the importance of this month. During this month, the most important thing is to keep roza on the 9th and the 10th. You should make tawbah and make dua and istighfar for the entire ummah. Make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here is an opportunity for us to change our lives. We talk about the Yahud, we blame the Yahud, but let us change ourselves first. Let us take stock of our own lives first. Here is a golden opportunity for us to repent over our sins of the past. My respected brothers and elders, even Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was saved on this day. Amongst other important incidents, two have been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, two or three. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam being saved, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam being saved, and the qawm of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam being forgiven. These three have been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My brothers and elders, on the 10th of Muharram, we know of the tragedy that took place, the massacre, or the brutal killing that took place in Karbala. I can promise you that every one of us sitting here, who has got a little bit of iman, and a little bit of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his Ahlul Bayt, would feel that pain when they read the pages of history, when they read the incident of Karbala. Any person will become affected. Every Muslim will begin to cry when he reads how terribly Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was martyred. However, my brothers, it is not a day where we should mourn over the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, slash and beat our chest, and behave in the manner of a jahiliyyah, of an ignorant person. The importance of Ashura very clearly became important long before the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. My respected brothers and elders, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, undoubtedly, they were such great illustrious sahaba. Every one of us, whether we like it or not, we should embed in our and build in our hearts true love for these two grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in fact every sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself showed so much of muhabbat for these two. He would say, "Innahuma rihanataya fi dunya." Hassan and Hussein, they are my two beautiful fragrant flowers in this world. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was invited by some sahabi for a meal. So along with other sahaba, whilst walking through the gullies of Medina, he spotted Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala playing in the gullies of Medina. So immediately Rasulullah sallallahu went in front before the other sahaba. And he فَبَسَطَ يَدَيْهِ, he spread out his hands to catch Hussein radiallahu ta'ala out of affection and love and muhabbat. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala ran to his right hand side. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa extended his hand on that side. He came to the left. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa extended his hand to the left hand side. يُضَاحِكُهُ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala laugh and made him happy. Then Rasulullah embraced him. He caught hold of him. He clung onto Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. He placed his Mubarak hand onto the chin of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and one hand above the head of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed the lips of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And then he mentioned, Husseinu minni wa ana min Hussein. Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein. Whoever loves Hussein, loves me. Oh, love Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala, because of my love for him. When the Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala was killed and martyred, and when his head was chopped off and he was carried to the court of Ibn Ziyad, who began to strike his lips with a stick, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala began to cry. Hazrat Zayd bin Arqam radiyallahu ta'ala stood up and said, "Wayhak, woe to you. Do not do such a thing, because I have seen my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his own mubarak lips kissing these mubarak lips of Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala." My respected brothers and elders, I am talking about that Ahlul Bayt. I want to enforce and drive across to you this point that every one of us loves Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala. We love Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala. But not only on the 10th of Muharram should we remember them. Every day of our lives, let us imitate these Sahaba. Make our children understand who these Sahaba were. What sacrifices they underwent for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much do we know about Hassan Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala? Besides the fact that Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala was killed on the 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, their father, Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for days on end they had no food to eat even. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears the piercing cry of his two grandchildren. Whilst he is in the masjid with the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala, he could not bear, he could not tolerate the crying of his beloved grandchildren. It is mentioned in the kitabs, when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not see them for a couple of days, he would call for them, he would kiss them, he would show their love and affection to them. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Sahabi to go and find out what is happening, what is the matter, why are they crying? To please tell them to tell Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala to keep them quiet. But you find that they still continued crying. Finally, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes himself. He knocks on the door, he makes salam, he goes inside. And he asks his beloved daughter Fatima, when he sees her face, she was grown so pale, so weak, no food to eat. He was starving. The family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his two grandchildren, Sayyida Shabab Ahlil Jannah, the leaders of the youth in paradise. No food to eat. They are grown so sick. The same family, on one occasion, when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala had brought some money home, and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha had made some rolls, as they were about to eat, it is mentioned that they were fasting also, they were about to partake of the meal when somebody knocked on the door. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha did not hesitate, but all the five rolls that his wife had baked on that particular day, he gave all in sadaqah. There are so many other stories and incidents in Fazail Sadaqat of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, specifically on Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, the sacrifices they underwent for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected brothers and elders, let us follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed us with, let us bring that into deen. Our deen is very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made our deen very easy and a very pleasant deen. Let us not make deen difficult for ourselves. So inshallah, on this Mubarak month, let us keep roza on the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and 11th, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, this is another occasion for our sins to be obliterated, another occasion from receiving from the treasures of rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the ummah is suffering, and we can go on giving speeches and lectures, but the solution lies with us. We have to become like the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala an, and we have to elevate the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this deen flourish throughout the entire world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.